Last time on the Hellbound Podcast.
After 10,000 years, I'm free. Now, it's time to conquer Earth.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What in the blue hell is going on here? This is not what happened last time. We made it to a well where we thought there was a distress signal, but instead this creepy girl over here from, like, The Ring climbed out of the well and told, like, a really bad pun.
Actually, I was trapped in that well for 10,000 years, and I am going to conquer Earth, so really, you're just ruining all the fun for everyone.
Yeah, Michael, thanks for ruining all the fun.
Jerk! What? Oh, come on! This was supposed to be a horror thing, not some Power Rangers ripoff. I mean, she doesn't even look like Rita Repulsa.
Actually, Rita's my little sister. I'm Lita Repulsa.
Yeah, Michael, she's Lita Repulsa.
Quiet, you. And you. You're not a Michael Chan doppelganger, are you?
A what?
Never mind. Now, since you're here to conquer Earth, we're gonna stop you.
Oh, really?
Really.
I wanna see you try.
I'd like to congratulate Michael on his new role in Star Trek. Congratulations, Michael.
Thank you so much. You heard that right. You are now listening to the voice of the latest actor to join the cast of Star Trek Discovery. I am Michael Chan, no longer D-list actor. I think you can promote me to C-list actor now.
Yep.
That I am an operations officer on the United Federation of Planets headquarters ship-based thing. Whatever you want to call that thing. But it's the Federation HQ, and I am a lieutenant.
I'm like, I saw that at, what time was it? 8 o'clock this morning, so I'm not too sure when you posted. Probably after the episode, is that right?
I posted after because even though I know that in the US, the episode was put onto Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Like really early in the morning on Eastern time. In Canada, it airs at 9 p.m. And I just wanted to let the episode have some time before I said anything about it. Even though my NDA basically allows me to say that I'm in it by when it airs. But still, I just wanted to give some time for this episode to actually come out. People to actually have a chance to watch it and process the episode. And yeah, so I made the big announcement. And before we continue, who are you with the power shot, with your camera coming down from below, looking up? Oh, Daddy, who are you, Daddy?
I'm Alex Blackburn, the new Michael Chan fanboy. because basically, I said to a friend of mine, I was filming all day. And before we picked up the work car to go on the shoot and drones and all of that, I looked at my Facebook. I thought, oh, I see if Michael, because I always find it better if you suggest times and dates because of everything you have in your life in terms of family and everything.
Including the baby that I have in my, who's our guest, our first guest on the show.
That's official, is, yeah.
My wife and I don't say our kids' names publicly, but my son, who's a newborn, is on the show, and hopefully you can hear the little noises that he makes, but he is our first guest on the show. He's a co-host today, right little guy? Yeah, you're enjoying your time here being on a podcast.
Oh my god, he's amazing.
You're already on a podcast.
He's amazing, mate. He's absolutely amazing. Congrats.
So our first guest is my son. Anyways.
I was just about to set out for a shoot. I was just waiting for someone. Right, get all the gear together. Check Facebook. See if Michael suggests the time date for podcasting. And lo and behold, I got on my feed to begin with. And it was like the crossing of all the streams. It was just super. I was just so proud of you and super, super stoked. I knew you couldn't tell anyone NDAs and all of that, so it made complete sense. And I was like, just as though I was in it. That's how you, that's what you're like for me, as though I'm in it, all worked on it, you know? So
yeah,
congrats, Mike. It's a big day. And yeah, obviously we'll go into detail about that at some other point, but I don't know if you have lines of dialogue. Do you have lines of dialogue? You know,
I do. I talk.
Mate, that's fantastic.
I perform with Oded Fehr, and it was an honor. He's one of my heroes growing up and one of my acting heroes, one of my idols, someone I really look up to. And, you know, I was kind of sad when I did another show that hasn't aired yet, but I missed a chance to work on that with him, because we're in different scenes. But to be able to work with him on this show on Discovery is just almost a life altering experience for me, because even though I don't have a lot of lines, like, he brought out the absolute best in me.
That's so cool. I was like, oh my god, this is the uniform. I had a massive geek out. Massive geek out. It was fantastic.
It was so hard to keep this from you, knowing how big of a fan you are. And, you know, you're one of my closest friends. And it was just so hard. But you're a total pro.
I've got to say, producers of Star Trek Discovery, Michael is an absolute pro. And I had no clue. I wanted him to be in this, like if I was in... I don't know. I think this would be the equivalent of something extremely cool to be in, but I wanted Michael to be in this, and he didn't. There's no hint or anything, and it was just very by stealth post, and it was perfectly timed. I think if I was in your position, I would have timed it pretty much the same way. So yeah, absolutely incredible. And I'm tempted. Sorry to cut you off. I'm tempted to print a T-shirt just for just the words on saying "Chan is canon."
Oh my god! Sure.
Because now you're canon, which is it.
I am canon.
You're immortalized. I know you've done a lot of work, but you're immortalized now in television history.
I am a canon, part of the Star Trek canon and lore, and childhood dream come true. I just wanted to say, I mean, I know you were shocked. Can you imagine my Live Long and Podcast Star Trek Radio Theater co-host and castmates? Can you imagine their shock? I mean, this is a legitimate Star Trek reaction and show and podcast that I'm on, and I kept this for, and I review episodes of Discovery with them, pretending like I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. What's Dave said to you? Has he reached out?
Oh, well, I mean, Dave was when we were, so it was fun because I don't like, they didn't notice that I was in the episode.
I would have spotted you.
And I had a feeling that would happen because I look different on screen sometimes, especially with, if you're not really looking for your friends on a show, sometimes you might miss, I've missed my friends before, and then they'll tell me, I was in that episode. I'm like, wait, what, and I feel bad, I go back, I'm like, oh my god, how did I not know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's kind of what happened with all, especially since, like, a lot of them were kind of hyper-focused on getting ready for the podcast, right? Yeah. So it's just like, okay, get the story, blah, 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 they're, like, writing notes about story, and then it's like we get to the end of the podcast, the reaction. I spent the whole time again continuing to pretend like I didn't know what's going on, you know what I mean?
Fully grasp this. You weren't doing a review with Dave about your episode, right?
And all the episodes that came before. Yes,
that's amazing.
That's the show I'm on.
I know, but did you reveal during your review that you're in that particular episode?
Jessica actually revealed it first, because we had made contingencies. If they knew I was on,
amazing,
then whatever, like, we will celebrate at the beginning of the episode, or if they figured it out or whatever, partway. But if nobody said a thing, I would play it straight all the way until the end, and then Jessica would make a post, and she did. She made a comment in the live stream comments about, you know, if you go back to the beginning of the episode. And then I was like, hey, Dave, because Dave, oh my god, he couldn't have set it up better. he did this whole thing called Dave's Discoveries right at the end of the episode where he's like, here's some trivia about them. And then I was like, oh, I thought that was when he was going to reveal
it.
And then no, he's like, okay, let's go to rate the episode. I'm like, ah, Dave, dude, Dave's Discoveries and you didn't discover this? Go to the credits. Why? Go to the credits, Dave. He goes to the credits. No, keep going. What does that say, Dave?
What was his face like?
Oh, it was great. On the show, it was great. And then they read Jess's comment, and it was just like, wait, what?
You do realize that there's some meta situation going on if you do the radio play of that episode and you play yourself. Playing a character of yourself.
I've made it clear to them that one day, if they find the script to this episode, they're not making me play myself. I want one of them to play me.
So good. It's so cool. It's just beyond cool. It really is. I could geek about that. And you know what? I know this is a horror podcast, everyone, but I've got to congratulate you, friends. When something really positive happens to someone you know and all the terrible things that have happened the last couple of years, at least, and what people go through in their lives, you've got to congratulate people. So congratulations, Michael. It's an outstanding achievement. It's, you know, that's what you've worked so long for and hard for, is for moments like that.
15 years.
Yeah. Oh.
15 years. People don't get how hard, like, I know some people will look at my role and be like, oh, you know, you just say like two lines.
I'd give anything for something like that.
If I didn't say anything at all, and there were actors in that episode who didn't get to say anything.
Yeah.
And those are not background. They're like, they auditioned for it.
Okay.
You know, even that, it's an honor to exist in this universe.
A named character, that's outstanding in anything. It really is.
Yeah, but I'm just saying to people, like, people always think like it's so easy or whatever to do what we do as actors. Yeah.
I remember what your friend said about voiceover work. And then I only know because of a very good friend of mine. She's in Justice League. How hard people work to get into in this industry, and just to be let through the door, even just once, is on something, you know. Outside commercials are obviously just as difficult to curve.
It is, yes.
Get, but to get something that's iconic,
it's hard.
Extreme.
I'm gonna be like totally candid before we move on to the horror, because there is something in horror I want to talk about.
Okay,
but like my 15 years in the industry working to get to this point for two lines on Star Trek is not easy. You know, my beginning of my career, I had to like do work for exposure. I didn't make any money. I did just tons and tons of little short films, passion projects, all for exposure. I got myself an agent, and that they weren't very good. So I had to do even more stuff on my own. Joining the union put me into, once I was able to, by the way, since I have to build a massive resume and a reputation to even start to think about the union. Then it was a whole new ball game. My career had to restart again because basically nothing I ever did mattered too much. All they care about is that I've done something. Then I have to compete against people who have way more talent, way more skill, way more everything than me. Yeah. And then so I had to go from there. And previous to Discovery coming to Toronto, there were so many other shows I wanted to be on. Orphan Black, the number of times I auditioned for that, I'm not in Orphan Black. And it's one of my most, it's a tragedy.
It's a superb show, yeah.
I love that show with all my heart, and I really wanted to be in it, and I never made it. You know, The Expanse. Oh, I wanted to be in that so bad, and I never made it, and it's gone now. So, like, just the sheer amount of work I had to do, and then I targeted Discovery with my agents, and we worked together. My agents pitched me, and I worked hard. I built an entire demo reel. I made footage with a demo reel program for my union. I did everything I could to get onto this show, and I auditioned so many times for Discovery. Came so close multiple times. I've cried. I've gone to my therapist to talk about the times I didn't make it on, and I got so close.
Yeah,
you know, and to finally make it here. This career is not easy. this career isn't just going on and talking and memorizing scripts and then, you know, doing drugs and drinking. That's not what this career is. No, it was 15 years of my life to get here. And it's, you know, I'm not a main character or anything. It's a small role, but it's the best in the world. Yeah. So I think I'm going to end it at that, just so people understand what this life means.
Yeah, and I've got like a billion other questions, but they'll come over the next.
We'll wait.
They'll come over the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Production questions, Odette Fair, and even that screenshot. Even that screenshot. I love how diverse that screenshot is with you and him, and what Star Trek means to so many people now. And it's pushing boundaries, and I'm not going to look at you differently, Michael. I'm going to look at you exactly the same way. But it's just like super proud, just genuinely proud, and just chuffed to bits.
So from now on, we are the Hellbound Podcast with festival and film legend Alex Blackburn and Star Trek Discovery's own Michael Chan.
Fantastic.
We have a legit Star Trek personality on the show.
Yeah, that's so cool. I told Vicky when I came home, and she's like, "What?" She almost crashed the car. She, "What? What? That's amazing!" And she was just big smile on her face. So, yeah, mate, absolutely stunning, mate. That's just great news. I was telling people I was working with today. A friend of mine has just appeared on Star Trek. I'm like, what? Okay. And these are all people that would care. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Oh yeah, just absolutely stunning, mate. I don't know what else to say, but that's brilliant.
Live long and prosper.
now you're on the show. That's got weight.
Yeah, and I'm just going to give you the live long and prosper sign on our show.
Yeah, that's going to be the screenshot I use somewhere. Yeah.
Oh wait, did you screenshot?
No, I'll take a frame. I'll know when to do that. Let me get that right.
Moving on, I really want to talk about the Netflix show. All of Us Are Dead. Have you heard of that?
Oh, is that the zombie show?
That is the Korean zombie show.
Right. Yeah. There's Archive 81, and there is this show. These are the two I really want to watch. Vicky and I are currently watching Kevin. I was going to say Kevin Spacey. Then, geez, I'll bleep his name out. Kevin Costner's Yellowstone on Paramount Plus.
How is that?
It's fantastic, and because I'm a huge Deadwood fan, this is like the best role Kevin Costner may have ever done. And he's very, he can be hit and miss, but his work, this is an incredible show. Brilliantly written. It's like chiseled out of, I don't know, out of stone. Anyway, we're not talking about that. It's a brilliant show. Can you tell me about that new Netflix show?
Yes. So I am going to recommend All of Us Are Dead to everyone. It is a show from South Korea, and it is phenomenal. It's about a bunch of students in a school where a zombie outbreak happens. And just the acting, the dynamics of the students. What do you want to say about it? You like the show too? Since Mommy and Baba are letting you watch it. Which is probably a bad idea. Oh no. He wants to burp. We're keeping all this in.
If there's any green projectile vomiting, we're keeping that in, yeah.
Oh, we're totally keeping the baby noise.
Oh no, we are. This is gold. This is pure gold.
But yeah, like I just found like they had really good like the actors did a really good job. And it was clear that like the cast had really good chemistry, because like, wow, they worked well together, and like they really made me feel for the characters. Like I was really invested in what happened to them. I don't want to spoil stuff, you know what I mean? But like,
it looks exciting. It looks like a really exciting show to watch.
It is. And like, if you like, have you watched Train to Busan?
One of my favorite horror films. I think it's absolutely a stunning film. I just, the kinetic energy in that is, oh, and setting on a train is just, oh, just beautiful. Great film.
So it's made clear, actually, pretty clear early in the series that the writers are fans of Train to Busan, because if they bring it up in the show, it's not really a spoiler, but from then on, I'm like, oh, I know what your influences are. There it is.
Right.
And yeah, but they've also come up with like, they've have their own lore to the zombies. Like they came up with their own lore, how things work. It's not too far off from what we know, but they have their own version. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I found like the way that the writers go about letting the main character, like how the main characters kind of sort out what's going on is really good. Like, you know, because we go on the same journey of discovery with the characters to kind of figure out the zombies, you know? And the only complaint, and this is, actually I have two complaints. One, I felt like it went a little too long. Like this, the season went too long, because I felt like they could have cut it down to maybe 9 episodes, but I think they're 11 or 12. I forgot how many episodes. Okay. It's more than 10. And it's
just
definitely
it felt like there's a little bit of fat on the show.
It drags at certain points.
Yeah.
But the other thing I noticed is that, and it's something that's really common, I find, with these types of shows from Korea, is that they nonsensical deaths, things that could be avoided, but they set it up like it's obvious what's coming,
right?
And then it's upsetting because you're like, guys, come on, why do you got to do that? Because it's usually when there's a difference between deaths that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what? Like the story and everything, it's just it makes sense. And it's done well. And other characters that are killed off just because they need a death that episode.
That pisses me off.
I noticed this for, I mean, even North American shows. But like, I found that with Japanese and Korean shows that have like a group, especially horror, like they some of those deaths are just not necessary. And to me, it's just a sign that maybe those characters should not have existed at all.
Right, I see. Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah.
Right, it's just pointless.
I don't know what it's like. Obviously, you know, you've got different groups of.
One sec.
It's all right.
Sorry, you were saying.
I know, in like American cinema, you've got jocks, you've got geeks, you've got nerds, you've got the popular people. Is there like school kid dynamics as well in the show?
Oh my god, yeah, they have like all the dynamics, like the rich kids, the poor kids, the nerds, the athletes, and then you see all their dynamics come into play.
Yeah,
popular kids, unpopular kids, even the fat kid, the skinny kid, you know what I mean? They had all of that going.
I'm really looking forward. I might even try and watch that tonight.
You really should. But and of course they set it up so that there could be a second season. Like, I sometimes wonder if shows need to stop doing that.
I think they do. It was a trend of there was a lot of movies that I remember it from the 90s where they just throw a little scene in at the end after the credits or something, and it's kind of unnecessary. And you know, it's disappointing when that happens, because it's like, oh, okay, and then there isn't a second season. Or the worst thing you can do is get to a point in a show. I'm going to repeat myself. The OA on Netflix, a wonderful
original show.
The end of the second season is mind-boggling. What happens at the last scene is like, oh my god, that's where they've gone with this. Oh my god, the next season's going to be amazing. But then they don't bring it out. So I have a little bit of a back and forth about that, and that's my only thing about Netflix throwing the net out so wide is sometimes they really don't give shows that deserve it a chance. Dark Crystal for me, I didn't finish watching. I'm not finished watching yet, but they're not doing another season, and apparently a lot of people cried out where it needs it because of where they left it. So yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
I'm not saying like you shouldn't have the possibility of second season. I'm saying when shows go so hard into making it so another season is necessary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if it gets canceled.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's just sometimes it's better if you have too many loose ends, it's just annoying, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I felt just a little bit of that in this show, but, like, not enough that it annoyed me. But they did set it up.
That sounds fantastic. And the trailer is stunning, actually. It's really energetic, and I love the look of it.
I think he's really hungry. I fed him an entire bottle and he's still complaining. It's either that or he's worried that I'm going to spoil something, or he can read my mind and there's too many thoughts about this show that I want to say, but I'm not going to say it. But I really do recommend it. Like, I think it deserves, it's trending here in Canada, and I think it's deserved. I will say it isn't the absolute best. I still prefer Kingdom.
Yeah.
The historic, like, the, yeah, like, ancient times zombie show from South Korea.
Yeah.
Like, back in the old, I don't know, Korean medieval day. I don't know what you call that. It's just, okay. This is a historic show.
Yeah.
It's set in the past. I prefer that over this. But in the absence of more Kingdom, which I hope more is coming, but in the absence of more Kingdom, this is it. Like, this is the show you should be watching if you like horror and you like zombies.
Yeah, that's awesome. I will definitely be checking out that out, and there's an outside possibility I'll start watching that tonight, because, like, when you watch a show from, like when I watched Battle Royale, and it kind of has that kind of vibe, obviously, because the school kids are, you know, they're on a trip originally, as I remember, and it has this, I like this kind of collective, how do I describe it? When everyone's kind of put into a corner and you have to kind of band together and help each other out. And I absolutely love, that's kind of a my jam, really. Like The Thing or Assault on Precinct 13, where people are kind of put in this situation. But when you see this trailer and see what these people are going through, these kids, it really does go, oh my God, what do you do in those situations? Because the energy of those zombies is next level.
Oh yeah. Actually, that's the other thing I wanted to talk about. I just remembered. I would like to commend the zombie actors in this show. They fully commit.
Yeah.
Like, wow, down to the butt. I know some of it might have been CG potentially, but a lot of their, like, body pop lock movements.
Yeah.
That's not CG. That's really, and like their facial expressions and just the commitment. There are some scenes where, like, they're jumping on all over each other. You can't fake that. These actors are just all over each other and just, like, going, like, trying to eat someone.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just a commitment to it. Like, and it's, you know, like, you have too many people on top of you, it gets heavy. You know what I mean? It's, yeah, not CG. Absolutely. It's not like a CG pile of people. It's a real pile of people, and they're like, you know, it's so good.
Vicky had my wife had a haircut a couple of days ago, and basically it's for this it's not charity, I don't think it's a charity, but it's she, I think it was 13 inches of her hair she had cut off, and it's for kids that have cancer, so you can make a real wig for them, and she does that every so often, you know, every time she's got that length of hair, and it's a really nice thing to kind of be part of. And with her haircut, what she did, like, I just got into bed last night and she was just about to get in bed as well. And I turned to look at her and she had her hair in front of her face and she looked like the girl from The Ring. And she purposely did this kind of zombie thing through her hair and it scared the bejesus out of me. I was absolutely terrified. So I think she'll appreciate the show and I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, it's difficult to commit to new shows because there's so many shows to watch.
Yeah.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. There's 15 seasons, and I don't think I'll probably ever watch it because it's 15 seasons. But yeah, I'll definitely be cracking open that show. I'm super excited about it. And yeah, long live kind of foreign horror as well, because it's some of the best. It's absolutely some of the best. I know we highlighted that a little bit last week, but yeah. Absolutely fantastic.
Last thing I want to do today, unless you have something else.
No, this is perfect, yeah.
I want to congratulate the cast and crew of Hunting Darkness, which is the short film produced by Katisha Shaw and written by Ryan and directed by Ryan M. Andrews. It has just become a finalist and official selection at the Anatolia International Film Festival. So it's doing well in the festival circuit. I'm very proud of everyone on this team. It's a well-deserved, I don't know if we're going to win or not, but it's big to be a finalist at Anatolia. So very excited about that.
Yeah. We should definitely have some of the people involved on the show on the film as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic. And we've officially had a your new brand new amazing son as our first guest. So yeah. I think everyone else has to get in line now.
Yeah, everybody else does have to get in line.
Yeah.
All right. So everybody, please subscribe or follow or whatever our Instagram, which is at the Hellbound Podcast. If you'd be so kind, if you like what we do, please give us a follow or a subscription on your podcast app of choice. And if there are review options, give us 5 out of 5 stars or 10 out of 10. And a positive review really helps us grow our listenership and helps our podcast get featured on the front pages of the apps. So thank you very much. Plus, finally, if you have horror cosplays, horror makeup, horror, I don't know, music videos or anything you want to show us horror based that you would like to have featured on our social media, please go to our Instagram again. That is at the Hellbound Podcast. Send us a private message and we will feature you. Thank you so much.
Live long and prosper.
And harness the darkness.